Welcome to the 21st. I'm Jenna Dooley. Coming up later this hour, only a fraction of the women who served our country in the military have been able to go on honor flights to Washington, D.C. But this fall, 100 vets will be on the first all-female honor flight in Illinois. And DeKalb area assistant principal Maurice McDavid has figured out a way to gain respect and cooperation from his elementary school students through his original raps. But first, Illinois has more places to make a bet than any other state. Yes, even Nevada. And one video gambling company, Excel Entertainment, is largely to credit for that. That was their co-founder, Andy Rubenstein, ringing the opening bell at the New York Stock Exchange last year. He was cheering and pumping his fist in that video because the Illinois-based company is the first gaming service provider to be publicly traded. You'll find their video gambling or video poker machines in bars, restaurants, and gas stations across the state. Rubenstein may have taken advantage of connections to the Illinois Gaming Board. That's according to records obtained by ProPublica. Jason Grotto reported the story for ProPublica Illinois. He's here to tell us more. Jason, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks so much for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Jason, many of us around the state have seen these video gambling machines or video poker machines. Even if we have or haven't played, they're in bars, they're in gas stations. Can you describe the type of machine we're talking about here and where we might find them?
So these are your sort of traditional, if you were to go to a casino, the traditional video slot and poker machines. So these are electronic devices like kiosks where you can feed money into them and, you know, basically push a button and the virtual wheels will spin. And if you hit a jackpot, you'll get a ticket and you can go cash that in. It's the exact same machines that you would find in any casino. In Illinois, they are allowed in any liquor-pouring establishment, so any bar or restaurant, fraternal organization, veterans organization that has a liquor license to pour alcohol on premises, they're allowed to have the machines. You also technically are allowed to have machines at truck stops, and there's various criteria for being able to qualify as a truck stop. Although we've written about how many gas stations are able to sort of game the system a little bit to get the machines as well. So you may see them in some gas stations.
But you'll typically see them in clusters of five, right? Each establishment can have five terminals.
Well, that was the law prior to the most recent gambling expansion, which passed last summer. You can now have up to six gambling devices and what they call large truck stops. These are, you know, the really big ones along the interstates are allowed now to have 10 devices on the premises.
And Jason, so in your reporting, you found that the odds are pretty high in Illinois that many of these machines are owned by this company, Excel.
That's right. So the various players in the video gambling machine, you have the locations, which we just discussed, and then you have manufacturers who build the machines. And then the middleman there is their entities called terminal operators. And what they do is they buy machines from the manufacturers and then contract with the locations to place the machines. And so, yes, what we found, our analysis of gaming board data, we found is that Excel Entertainment currently controls about one out of every three video gambling machines in the state, just about one out of every three, slightly less than that.
How much money do these machines generate in revenue on a given day in Illinois?
So what we found for Excel's machines is that they generate, on average, about $1 million a day in revenue. Last year, I believe, people who played these machines lost $1.5 billion statewide. And that money is divided up. The law changed last summer, but generally it's 35% of every dollar will go to the location, 35% will go to the terminal operator. The state will get about 21%, I believe, right now. And then the municipalities and towns where, you know, the locations are located they'll get 5%. And so that's kind of how it breaks down. So the terminal operators, which have contracts with, especially with Accel, with thousands of locations, are the ones that really make here the bulk of the money.
I want to talk about how this company got so big. You mentioned in your story for ProPublica Illinois that Accel controlled one out of every four handful of video gaming machines in the state in Illinois in 2018. So they are the biggest player here?
Absolutely, yeah. And they recently, toward the end of last year, bought another operator, the eighth largest operator. And so now they control nearly one out of every three machines. When the law first was passed, this was a law that was written by amusement companies. These are companies that they call them coin-operated amusement companies. They're the guys who provide, pool tables and dart tables and pinball games to bars and restaurants. Many, many of them, most of them maybe, also were involved in what they call gray machines. These were like simulated slot and poker devices that were known to be used for illegal gambling. And they wrote a bill to legalize those slot machines. And the bill originally had a cap of 5%, where no terminal operator could control more than 5% of the market. That cap was removed. And that is what allowed some of these, the largest companies to really expand, most recently by acquiring their competitors.
Can you give us some history of the company Accel in terms of, you talked about kind of where their different hands are in some of different entertainment, but historically speaking, how far do they go back?
So Mr. Rubenstein, along with his brother, founded Accel Entertainment about 2 weeks before the Video Gaming Act was signed into law. They had heard about this from a friend who was friendly with a lawyer who was involved in the gambling industry. And so they started it then. Now, they had no experience in gaming or gambling industry, but they did have resources that they could tap. Their family members were able to invest quite a bit of money. They tapped a network of other business associates to raise, well over $8 million to get the company up and running. And then basically what they did is they went out and bought, these amusement companies that I spoke about earlier. They started, purchasing those in order to scale up their business. What few people knew at the time, however, is that Mr. Rubenstein had a childhood friend who was at the gaming board as a lawyer writing the regulations for the industry. And it's important to understand that this all happened very quickly. It was the financial crisis. The state was in need of more funding for capital projects, building roads and schools and other stuff. And there was financial issues with the state. And so the governor at the time, Governor Pat Quinn, wanted to, borrow money to do these projects and then pay for the loans through video gambling. And so everyone really wanted this to get up and running, as quickly as possible. And the result was the state did very little in terms of providing the Illinois Gaming Board with the resources and personnel that they needed to ensure that the industry was regulated properly. So it was all done very quickly. And many of the people in the business, had trouble navigating the regulatory system, because you had to do a lot of forms, background checks, investigations. And Mr. Rubenstein, through his association with his childhood friend, we have emails that show that he got a lot of insights that his competitors didn't have. We also found that the company, was able to obtain, confidential gaming board documents, including information on competitors. So, it looks from the records that we have that they had a competitive edge over their fellow terminal operators.
So you mentioned connections, timing. How then has the Illinois Gaming Board responded to your reporting?
So we, went to the gaming board before we published and we wanted to make sure that what we had was what we thought we had. And what they have told us is that at this point they have opened up an investigation into the emails that we provided and into our reporting. There is a state law that prohibits people that are regulated in industries like gambling, and state officials who are overseeing those regulated industries from communicating privately about state business, exactly for the reasons that I said. You know, this is a highly regulated, highly competitive industry, and there are laws in place to make sure that there's a level playing field. I should mention that these communications, these emails that we have, were on the state official's private email accounts. And his bosses at the time say they were unaware that he was communicating with Mr. Rubenstein in the way that he was.
And did you talk to Excel? What did they tell you?
We spent about a month, two and a half months, trying to get Mr. Rubenstein and Excel to answer questions. They never responded to our report. And so, you know, by jumping out ahead of everyone else, in the state that has, you know, as you mentioned in the introduction, a state that has gone all in on video gambling and now has more locations of more than 7,500 locations across the state to gamble at these machines, has made Excel, even though it operates only in Illinois, is not only the largest terminal operator in Illinois, but the largest in the country. And that's what attracted, you know, Wall Street.
You talked about how much money these machines can generate, and then later you made a connection that this came at a time when infrastructure was needing a shot in the arm. So in the breakdown there, for every dollar spent at a video gaming terminal, some of that is going back to these communities. That's why they're allowing these terminals in their communities, because they can pay for things. I remember a couple of years ago talking with a Rockford City administrator who said they used some of the revenue to buy new ambulances. What other things have you heard that some of the revenue is used for? It doesn't all go into the pockets of Excel. Some of it is going back into communities.
Yeah, that's right. As I said, about 35% goes to the terminal operator, 35% goes to the location. The state gets about 21%. Unfortunately, the state does a very poor job in tracking where the money goes in terms of the bonds, you know, the loans that were taken out for these projects. So we're actually not able to say where the money from video gambling went. What we do know is that many towns, including Chicago, got money from the loans that were taken out, you know, using video gambling money, and there is no video gambling in Chicago. In terms of towns like Rockford, that's a great example. They actually, video gambling only accounts for less than 2% of the revenue that Rockford brings in every year. So in fact, local communities only get 5% of the revenue. And what we have found, or what there have been stories that have come out, where many of these communities are actually trying to put more taxes and fees on video gambling to get more revenue, because these machines are popping up. If you go to Rockford, they are everywhere, or Loves Park or the other places around, the machines are everywhere. And actually the cities get very little of the revenue that comes through. Oak Lawn, for example, has tried to put an extra tax called the push tax, a 1 penny tax every time on the terminal operators, every time someone pushes the button. And now the industry has gathered their formidable lobbying forces down in Springfield right now and are trying to create a bill, or they have written a bill that would prevent local communities from putting further taxes on video gambling.
If you're just joining us, Jason Grotto has been reporting on video gambling for ProPublica Illinois. Part of this, too, I imagine, has to be the addictiveness of these machines, because obviously a company is going to want to incentivize people to keep playing. You've done some co-reporting with WBEZ in Chicago about video gambling around the state. Reporter Dan Mialopoulos, he spoke with a woman named Anne in Downers Grove who had a gambling addiction. Here's what she had to say.
Because you have these machines coming up all over the place, you're going to have people that never thought they had an addiction all of a sudden having addictions, and there's nowhere for them to go. There's no help for them. There's no monies for them.
Illinois was going to put more money toward gambling addiction treatment as part of the gambling expansion, but you said it's really difficult to find a direct line of if that's happening.
Well, actually, what we found is that after they legalized video gambling, the state ended up spending less than it was prior to video gambling. In fact, Illinois was one of the only states in the country that has video gambling that never even bothered to study the prevalence of gambling addiction in the state. So in 2009, they legalized these machines. They spread all over the state, and no one ever bothered to see what the social impact was. And we pointed this out. And in fact, spending on combating gambling addiction fell during that time. One of the reasons for this is that the law provides very little money, in part because the taxes were among the lowest in the country for video gambling. And so there was very little money set aside for treating addiction, as opposed to a place like Massachusetts, which set up a trust fund to study and help treat people when they legalized casinos, for example. That was prior to this most recent gambling expansion under Governor Pritzker, which happened in June, I believe, and after our reporting. So after our report came out, in fact, the state did an eightfold increase in gambling addiction and pledged to study the problem. So we should be getting some more numbers in soon about that.
Jason Grotto has been reporting on video gambling for ProPublica Illinois. We'll tweet out a link to Jason's reporting. You can find us on Twitter on the 21st show. Jason Grotto, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.